to that. Kids, you are dismissed to go to your class. First through sixth graders, you head right on downstairs. And for the rest of you, if you would take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We are winding down on this study of Ephesians, and we're right at the end. We're looking at the whole armor of God, and as believers, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We learned that last week. It's not a battle against another human being. It's against Satan and all his evil forces in the world around us. And the enemy's goal is to, and has always been, to defeat as many believers as possible, because he knows that his days are numbered. And so he is fighting a battle that he will never win. But he also knows that defeated Christians are no longer productive for the Lord. He knows that they are not productive and they're not making a difference in the lives of others. They're not advancing the kingdom for the glory of God. So it's easy to understand why he wants to attack believers. He knows that, hey, if I just distract them, they're not going to serve the Lord faithfully. They're not going to witness. They're not going to be a testimony for him. So if I can just distract them and pull them away from the Lord, they're not going to be doing his work. But yet we know that God is going to be victorious. And we are going to be looking at, we're going to read verses 10 through 20, where Paul is describing the armor that we are to put on and wear as believers. But we're going to really concentrate on verse 13 and verse 14 today. So look at it with me, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10 and reading through verse 20. It says this, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray this morning before we get into the message. Father, again, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to dig into your word this morning. And I pray that, Father, that as we spend the next few minutes looking at this passage, Father, I pray that you would just help us to put away any distractions. Help us not to think about what we're going to do today or what we have planned for this week. But Lord, I pray that you would just teach us, that you would just show us what you would have for us to learn today. Father, I pray for clarity of speech this morning. I can't bring this message without your power, and I pray that from the power of the Holy Spirit that you would just give me everything I need this morning. And I ask this in your name, I pray. Amen. After the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives of putting on the full armor of God and the promise of power and God of victory that God gives us over the devil, Paul specifically describes the various pieces of armor. And he says in the first part of verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The first piece of armor that Paul tells us that we are to put on and stand strong during this ever-present but unseen spiritual battle is the belt of truth. In Paul's day, the soldier's belt really served as the foundation of the soldier's army, of his uniform. It was not there just for looks. It was really something that did a multiple amount of things, and it held his spear, and it kept up his breastplate from sliding down. But it was the foundation of his armor, and not only did it hold the spear and keep the breastplate up, but it also provided protection to the midsection of the soldier's body. It is absolutely necessary for the soldier of God to put on the belt of truth. And I know we've read this maybe many, many, many times about the armor of God, and we hear about this, how we need to put on the armor of God and all of these individual pieces of armor, and that is absolutely true. But the soldier of God, each one of us, are to put on the belt of truth. Why? Because our enemy, Satan, he fights with lies. He is a liar. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "There is no truth in him," and he's speaking of Satan. "There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Folks, it is the devil's desire to defeat us, to destroy us, and to distract us. And he does this with the lies that he throws at us. He did it even with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he continues to lie to us today. Remember what he said to Eve in the garden about her eating the fruit? What did he say? "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And not only did she take a bite, but she gave some to Adam and he ate. And what happened? First, they died spiritually. And then later, they died physically. They believed a lie from the enemy. Or what about this? What about today when the enemy comes along and it's tax time and, man, it's getting where you have to do your taxes and the enemy comes along and he says, "You know, you just go ahead and cheat on your taxes. You'll be fine. Nobody will ever know." And you do it, and pretty quick you either get a letter in the mail or from the IRS comes knocking on your door because they figured out exactly what you did. What happened? You believed a lie from the enemy, and now you're in trouble. Our world is filled with lies and deception from the enemy. And that's why it's so important for us as believers to possess the belt of truth. and you say, Pastor, where do I obtain the belt of truth? How is it made available to me? And I'm so glad that you asked this morning, because it is only available through our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus is the truth. When we walk with the Lord, we receive the strength and help from Him to face this battle that we face day in and day out. The Word of God is also truth. John chapter 17, verse 17 says this. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. God's word stands as a guide for our lives. It's final, it's complete, it's pure. But Satan wants us to ignore the truth that God gives us, and he wants us to grab onto the lies that are designed to lead us away from the Lord. Folks, the only way we can stand against the lies of the enemy is with truth. Is with truth. Truth helps holds our lives together. Life without truth will eventually fall apart. It's the glue that holds everything together. Truth protects against being tossed around from the cares and deceit of life. Truth helps us avoid pitfalls or being tripped up in the battle. If we are to enjoy the victory that has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to put on the belt of truth. John chapter 8, 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And not only are we to put on the belt of truth, but look at the next part of that verse. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." That's a hard thing for me to say. The breastplate of righteousness is the next piece of armor that we are to possess, and it is worn around the torso of the body. And some of the breastplates that these soldiers would wear, it covered an area from the neck down to the thighs, and even covered their back area. And there again, it served to protect the vital areas of the body, specifically the heart and internal organs. The ancient world believed that the heart represented the will and the mind of a person. And they believed the other internal organs, the guts, if you will, represented the seat of emotions or feelings. And just as the breastplate of the ancient soldier would protect his heart and the other internal organs, their guts, the breastplate that Paul mentions here is designed to do the very same thing for the child of God. And the reason the breastplate of righteousness is such an important piece of armor is because it protects two of the areas Satan frequently attacks most in the child of God: his mind and his emotions. And now you say, Pastor, I thought the helmet protected the mind, and that's true, it does, and we will come to that. But I want you to see this, and this is really good. And I'm going to do my very best to explain it, because this is what I've learned this week. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So the heart is the thinking aspect of life. In fact, the heart in the Hebrew terms means the mind. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17:9 said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." So these verses tell us that our thinking or our mind is associated with the heart. If you search the scriptures, there are other places in the Bible, specifically the King James Version Bible. It speaks of the bowels. It speaks of the bowels, meaning the internal organs or the guts. The bowels are associated with feelings and emotions. For example, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, in the King James Version, it talks about the bowels of compassion, or shutting up the bowels of love and not loving someone properly. You see, emotions give us feelings in our stomachs. They cause us to do certain things. Emotions hit us in the stomach, and you've heard it said, and maybe you've even said it yourself. You say, "I have this gut feeling." Well, why do you say that? Because there's something in your gut. There's a feeling in your gut. It's because we ache in our stomach when certain emotions are felt. And so to the Hebrew, to the Jew, to those that Paul is writing to in the church at Ephesus, this was a good way to demonstrate why they need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. They need to protect their heart, where their thinking all begins. And they need to protect their internal organs, which are the seat of their emotions. Because as I said a minute ago, those two areas are most frequently attacked by the evil one. Satan will fill our minds with all kinds of information and false doctrines. He'll use confusion to warp our thinking and feelings, causing us to love the wrong things and make them become our priorities and goals in life. Satan wants to strip the truth from our minds while filling them with his own perverted ideas. He wants us to stop from living a holy and pure life so he can pull us aside and pull us toward the things of him: envy and hatred and greed and jealousy and immorality and every other vice that he has in his toolbox. He doesn't want us to confess our sins. He doesn't want us to deal with our sins the way we should. He don't want us to deal with our sins God's way. He wants us to become so desensitized toward our sin that we begin to look at the wickedness as a way of life for us. Here's the bottom line, folks. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy me. You want to know why police departments make their officers wear bulletproof vests as part of their uniforms? It's because they protect a vital area. And that's the way it was with the Roman soldier as well. The breastplate protected a vital area. And that's the way it is with a believer too. When we put on the breastplate each and every day as part of our uniform, we are protecting our vital organs, and we are indestructible against Satan when we put that breastplate on. So we've learned about the breastplate, but what is the righteousness that Paul is speaking about here? The breastplate of righteousness is an active, spirit-filled pursuit of righteousness as opposed to imputed righteousness. Let me explain. When we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, His righteousness was imputed to us. It was credited to our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. It says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." It is impossible for us to put that kind of righteousness on, because it has already been given to us in its fullness, and it is ours forever. This imputed righteousness is the very foundation of the Christian life. It allows us access to God. It opens up the door of heaven to us. It protects us from the flames of hell. But the breastplate of righteousness that Paul speaks about here is a practical righteousness of a life lived in simple obedience to the Word of God. The child of God is to walk in obedience to God's Word every day. And this goes along with the new identity that we receive once we come to Jesus in salvation. We're not what we were. We've been changed according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. When the Lord Jesus saves us, the imputed righteousness of Christ within us is lived out in practical righteousness or obedience to the Lord. And when we live in obedience to the Lord and His will, He is glorified, and Satan has a difficult time with a believer who understands who he is in Christ Jesus. And you know, a lot of times, and I'm including myself in this today, folks, a lot of times Satan will throw all of these lies out there. And sadly, a lot of times we believe them. But according to what we saw a few minutes ago in the verses I read, that Jesus said, he's a liar. Everything he says, he's a liar. But until we understand who we are in Jesus Christ, there are going to be times when we believe those lies that Satan throws at us. Now, on the other hand, a believer who takes sin lightly and plays around the edges of evil, he will find that lacking the breastplate of righteousness will result in some devastating consequences. Lacking the breastplate of righteousness will rob the believer of their spiritual joy. Lacking the breastplate of righteousness will rob you of your spiritual fruit. If you are disobedient to the Word of God, you will be unfruitful in your work for God. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without you, without me, you can do nothing. So if we lack the breastplate of righteousness, we're going to be robbed of spiritual fruit. We're not going to have that fruit that we that is produced that we can enjoy. And thirdly, lacking the breastplate of righteousness dishonors God. And I would say the worst part of our sin as believers is that it brings dishonor to the name of our Father in heaven. Our sin hinders the spread of the gospel. Our sin tells the world that we are no different than they are. When we sin, we open the door for Satan to attack us and hinder our effectiveness for the Lord. And folks, that is why we must put on the breastplate of righteousness every single day. Because when we do, our thought life and our emotional life are protected from the attacks of the enemy. And we will experience spiritual joy. We will bear fruit, and God will be honored. We're definitely in a battle today with the evil one, Satan. And his attacks are relentless. But we don't have to face this battle unprepared. God's given us the armor. He told us, we looked at the passage last week, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I pray this morning that we, that you, that I will put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness that God has provided as we stand against the enemy. Are there elements in your armor that are weak this morning? Possibly. But why not come to the Lord and allow Him to strengthen you and clothe you in His might? Maybe you came this morning and you're unsaved. There's never been a time in your life when you've accepted the free gift of salvation. You've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. If you're unsaved this morning, if you've never made a decision like that, you don't have the benefit of the Christian armor. You're forced to face the struggles of this life alone. But you don't have to live in defeat and hopelessness, because Christ gave Himself a ransom for your sin. And He paid your debt on the cross, and He paid my debt on the cross. And you can be saved today, and if you will respond to His gracious offer, you can come to Him today. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. And I just would encourage you to just search your heart today. And maybe you're lacking the belt of truth. Maybe you're lacking the breastplate of righteousness. And maybe you've listened to some of those lies that Satan throws at us. And if you're lacking in one of those areas, I would right now, in the quietness of this place, just ask the Lord to strengthen you in those areas, and He will do that. Or maybe you came this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Simply call out to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and invite Him to come into your life and save you from your sins, and He will do just that. Father, thank You for today. And Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for the armor that's been provided to us as believers that we can put on to fight off the schemes of the enemy. And Lord, this morning, maybe there's some who are lacking in that area. I pray that, Father, that they would come to You and that they would ask You to strengthen them in those areas. Lord, maybe there's one this morning. Maybe there's others who have walked through our doors. They've never trusted You as their personal Savior. I pray that today that they would call out to You, that maybe pull me aside so I can open up God's Word and share with them the good news, the greatest news that anyone could ever receive. Father, I pray that You'd speak to hearts today. For we ask this in Your name, I pray. Amen. Stand with me.